Welcome to the Colors of Relationships podcast. I'm your host, Cedric Weatherspoon, licensed marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Dr. Asia King, licensed professional clinical counselor. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the show. Hi, and welcome to the Colors of Relationships. I'm your host, Dr. Asia King, licensed professional clinical counselor and counseling psychologist, along with
Cedric Weatherspoon, licensed marriage and family therapist, an all-around good guy.
All right. So, hey, Ned, how are you?
I am doing wonderful. I'm taking a little R&R vacation, so I'm coming to you from beautiful lake in northern Minnesota. Had to get out of the city.
Nice, nice, nice. Y'all followed my lead.
Yes.
Going to the lake to get a break. It feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, you were having a good time. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to let her outshine me again. So I decided to get away too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. All right. So
how was your week?
It was good. It was good. Just trying to get through today. It's been a long week. You know, a lot of people are still, you know, nothing has stopped. And a lot of people are still trying to figure out how to become balanced with all the stress that's happening. COVID cases are increasing. Police brutality is still occurring. The police have now taken a silent stance to not help anybody. Shootings are occurring and lawlessness seems to be taking into effect. So, yeah. Yeah,
that's a whole lot. I see people, the movement is still not backing down. So this is going to be pretty interesting. This year is going to be interesting. We have the election year and we have a lot of stuff going on, you know. Mm-hmm. Today I've saw a couple of your posts on Facebook in the last couple weeks as all this was going on. You were talking a lot about Breonna Taylor. You were blowing up Twitter, Facebook, and everybody. I mean, it's almost like you had a bullhorn talking about, don't forget Breonna Taylor. Mm-hmm. And so I thought today would be pretty interesting doing this episode is to, you know, I want to hear more from your perspective, from a female's perspective about, you know, Breonna Taylor, you know. It's been it seemed to be like shooting the black males and the all male movement. It's all of the protests been focused on the killing of black males. So, you know, I would love to hear more about what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, you know, our brothers, you know, George Floyd and Ahmaud and everybody else that has come after or come before, you know, who have been murdered, you know, whether it's through a regular citizen or through police brutality, you know, us black women, we're watching our brothers get murdered, but we're also watching ourselves get murdered too. And so, you know, it creates a lot of stress for us. Because we're trying to advocate for our black men to stay alive and also advocate for us to stay alive too. But what I'm hearing, you know, my sister say is that we're fighting for our black men to stay alive, but where's the outcry for us to stay alive? Where's the black men taking up arms and say, stop killing our sisters, start killing our mothers, stop killing our aunts, our nieces? Where's the banner for us? And it feels like when Breonna got murdered, I mean, you know, somebody said it beautifully. You know, a lot of times when we're seeing we're witnessing the murders of our brothers, you know, you're always looking for where did they make the mistake? You know, what did they do? Did they run? Did they reach? Did they bend over? Like, we're always looking for, like, what did they do? And we don't ever justify it and say that they deserved it, but we're always watching of like, well, what excuse can you give now for murdering one of us, right? Mm-hmm. But then when we look at Breonna, who was literally literally doing absolutely nothing. Like, sleeping and being in bed is the most absolute nothing thing you can do.
She was in her vulnerable position. Yeah.
The most vulnerable position you could possibly be. In her bed, sleep with her partner. And she was doing everything right. If you notice, they haven't come up with, because usually what do they do when one of our brothers get murdered? They come up with some smear campaign, right? Oh, they were smoking weed. Oh, they were domestic violence. Oh, they've been arrested. You ain't heard nothing on that girl. She was an EMT. She was going to school to be a nurse. She was a great daughter. The Breakfast Club did a beautiful interview with her mom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just the runaround that they even gave her mother to even get access to her body. My mother found out she was dead the next day after they sent her to the hospital where she wasn't there because she was still in the bedroom dead. So we're hearing a woman, a professional, a family, a friend, a girlfriend be murdered in her most vulnerable state. When I heard that shook me to my core. That shook me to my core. You're not even safe sleeping, right? Sandra Bland. So many women, you know, we get brutalized and attacked and killed and murdered and raped and maimed and everything in between. But where's our men flying the banner for us?
That is very powerful. I mean, I think that's about as real as it got. As I heard anybody talk about Breonna Taylor and the murdering of black women. And I think you are absolutely right. You know, I went to a few protests, and what I saw is a lot of women really yelling loud and leading the movement. All the images I've seen on the media, you know, even my personal experience, a lot of women are advocating for stop killing us, stop killing black men, you know, but, you know, I haven't seen a lot of men, you know, only a handful of men that step forward. And so it makes you curious about, you know, I always talk about is the narrative versus a narrative. So a narrative would say, you know, we're all dying, you know, as black people. But the, you know, if you look at the narrative is, you know, we're focusing on, we need to focus on all the black bodies who become victims of killings. And you're absolutely right. And I don't even have words to even say, hey, I know why we're not stepping forward. Other than historically, we can look at it from a historical perspective and look at, you know, why we're not stepping forward from a historical perspective. You know, and that would be a good conversation. Look at the 1960s movement, you know, I know women got sprayed with hoses and killed too. You know, why wasn't that brought to the forefront? You know, where are those women at? Who are those women who died during that movement? All we hear about the men who got killed, but we don't hear about the women and the children who got killed also. It has to be some women and children that got killed. So that makes me think, like, man, who's, you know, it goes back to who's controlling the narrative and who's telling the story. We're telling a story, but we're not telling the story. And I think in this movement, in this time of protest, we have to get to telling the story. Let's tell the whole doggone thing versus telling a portion of it and not telling the whole thing. We're all dying, and it should be all equally important.
Absolutely. So I want to share just a snippet of an article from, the dailybeast.com. And it's an article called Breonna Taylor and Why Black Women Are Tired of Being Left Out of Our Own Fight. And it's by Kaylin Wilson, who is a licensed social worker. And so it's a very good article, and it speaks exactly to this as to what are the dynamics that are happening? Because we know that we're being murdered and brutalized just as well. I mean, you can look at the history books where they used to take our families, they used to take our children, they used to rape us, all of that. Mm-hmm. So we've been sexually assaulted, maimed, and everything in between for a long time, just as equally as our men. But why is it that, as I mentioned before, we don't get the same attention as, you know, the guys? Why are we falling behind? So one thing that Ms. Wilson stated in her article, at the forefront of activism, the silence for Black women has at times been loud. Arisha Hatch, Color of Change's vice president and chief of campaign, acknowledges this in relation to the fight for racial justice for Breonna Taylor. She says, it sometimes feels like when Black women are victims, we don't get the same amount of attention. It can signal a hierarchy in terms of who matters. It can signal a hierarchy of who matters. And so we're both Black. George mm-hmm. is Black. Breonna is Black. But when we look at the hierarchy, men have always come first. Mm-hmm. Women second, children last. And we see that here. We see it here so many times. You know, when Sandra Bland was murdered, where was the rioting and looting then? And they tried to say she committed suicide, right? Mm-hmm. And I want us to go back into, you know, is it because there isn't any videotape? So out of sight, out of mind. You can hear a thing, but it's one thing to see a thing. When your senses aren't really tapped and tested, does that make mm-hmm. a difference? And I think it does, because if the police officers had been wearing their body cams when they weren't even in uniform. But let's say they did have body cam, right? And let's say they recorded them going in and just shooting up the house. Would that have made a difference? Maybe so.
Well, you can visualize it. If you're any kind of human being, you know what it's like to rest in your bed and be comfortable in your own home. You know, and this story has been pushed to the side. And I think the narrative is pushed to the side because in reality, her husband, you know, her partner stood up and fought back. It's like, you're not going to run up in here and kill us like this. And I think this story may be just pushed to the side, and not the media get to choose what they put the spotlight on. And let's talk about that as a fact of a matter. It's just like, I'm going to look for a story that may get me the best ratings that I can get. Well, Breonna Taylor, you know, and her husband fighting back, you know, do we really want to put the spotlight on that? You know, or do we really want to hype that story up and take a look at, you know, Black women being killed? You know, I think in general, we could talk about the Native American story of Native American women getting abducted at an alarming rate. Who's talking about that? Let's talk about the African American women who have been children and women who have come up missing, and no light has been put on that. So I think we all fall into this whole little pigeonhole where we're watching things, but someone's controlling the narrative and say, hey, here's the stuff you should be looking at. This is important. Who gets to say that what's important? And so I think that's the Achilles heel and all. That's the Achilles heels to information. That we don't necessarily control the narrative. In this case, we're controlling the narrative. We're saying, no, we're going to look at Black women who have been murdered by police officers too, and we're going to have a real conversation.
Well, I mean, we can have a conversation about it, but if we're not making the same hoopla as we did with George and Ahmaud, then we do send kind of that message that, you know, it's okay to do one, but not to the other. You know, if we don't have the same energy, what they say, keep that same energy. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the same energy for Breonna as we did with George. Nobody's buildings got burned. Nobody's places got looted. Nobody's asking. I mean, now they did put into effect the no knock warrant. So you can't just go in mm-hmm. without, you know, no knocking. I think two of the officers got fired, but they need to be charged. You know, Georgia's police officers are arrested. One's out on bail. Two are out on bail. But it says here in the article, you know, the person that wrote in the article had said that those video footage, national media attention, and the specific legal personnel of each case's jurisdiction often play a role in the advancement of cases. She feels the weight of asymmetrical coverage of police brutality against Black women is not there. So there's asymmetrical coverage, meaning that it does not equally match. So you have this loopage, you have this loop of George and Ahmaud. There's no loop for Breonna. No. The only loop she has is what her mom is saying. And without that loop, I feel like without video and without something to see, it doesn't connect as much with the hearts of people, but it connects with the heart of me because one, I am a Black woman. Two, all of us sleep. That's the thing, is that every last one, every creature that God has created sleeps. So if you cannot connect with the fact that a sleeping woman was murdered based off of incorrect, false, whatever narratives or stories the police have, something's inhumane about you. Because she was, as we said before, she was at the most vulnerable state a person can be, which is asleep. And then once they bust in and shot her multiple times, not twice, not three times, at least 7 to 8 times, they then charged her boyfriend, tried to get him for defending his family.
And we haven't heard anything else about where that case went.
Oh, it got dropped. They were trying to press charges for attempted or whatever because he shot a police officer, and it got dropped. Because what were you going to charge him for? He had every right to arm himself. He is the exact definition of a responsible gun owner and using mm-hmm. their gun the way it's supposed to be used in the event you have an emergency. Mm-hmm. So yeah. What were you going to charge him for? but at the end of the day, and what's even more chilling is that Breonna has a younger sister that was supposed to be home with them, and she wasn't there. So a mother could have lost her entire family because of the irresponsible actions and the immunity that police officers have that they can use against the citizens that they were sworn to protect. And then I go back to say, where is Breonna's marches? Where is her murals? Where is her justice? We can't do one for one and then not do it for all.
Well, I think it's happening, but the spotlight is focused on men, you know, and a lot of the protests I've been to, you know, they do bring up all the women and men who have been victims of gun violence. And a lot of the murals, I can only speak to what I see in it within my community, is I see like her name all over sidewalk stuff. But when you're talking about the intensity of it, it's all been focused around men. But, you know, she is included, women are included, but, you know, the reaction haven't been the same. And so it challenged us to think about, you know, it's one more step. It's like, okay, we need to look at this too. We need to look at it all. You know, look at how we perceive women in our culture within the African American community. You know, all of that. And I always said, you know, we have to stop defining community by poverty and struggle. You know, we have our large community. And I think when you look at the narrative, you know, when someone's controlling the narrative, they'll focus on the poverty and crime, all the poverty and crime that we have in our community. People aren't doing right. They don't have jobs. They're doing awful. You know, yeah, that's one part of the story, but we have great women who are doing amazing things. And you can look at the statistic, and you're a part of that statistic. You're a doctor. You're a doctor. You have your doctorate in psychology, and you know you're a part of that story too. And I think, you know, it's just it's woven in our fabric of our culture to be very divisive and say this group gets X amount of attention on, you know, their issues, while the other group, we're just not going to pay them attention because it's not important anymore. And, you know, I want to say this, and also as a black man hearing that story, it's like, okay, you brought up some great points. You know, why aren't the black men outraged and pumping their fists and walking down the street leading the charge for our black women? That is a real, like, heartfelt, you know, question that I feel like we need to step into it and answer that question. And the only thing I could think of, you know, I've read a lot of things around, you know, historical trauma, and you described it best when someone rushing up in the house and, you know, emasculating the man and raping the women and taking the kids, you know, it's something that's interwoven in our DNA that maybe, like, something comes up from that, but we don't talk about that. You know, it's just like everything else. We tend to kind of, yeah, that feels kind of ugly, and that makes me feel I have to be vulnerable to go down that path, so I'm just going to push it to the side and focus on something else. You know, focus on, yeah, they're killing our black men and uplifting us. It's about us as black males, because we're supposed to be the head, quote unquote, the heads of the household. You know, yeah, I mean, people tend to focus on that. You know, we do it even in education. You know, you have different focus that's focused primarily on black males, and our sisters and our female kids are struggling just as bad. But we allow that to happen. And we, you know, you got to own, you participate in it. You develop programs and services to support black males, because the statistic would say, well, they got the worst disparities in the world, but, you know, that's only a part of the story. We want it all. We want our whole community to be validated and taken care of.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, you know, what I've been doing to kind of heal through this process is, one, you know, just like you, I went up to the cabins. I took my kids to the cabins, and we sat by Lake Superior, and we roasted marshmallows and created a campfire and looked at deer, and, you know, we disconnected. But I know that some of my sisters don't have that opportunity. So what I've been trying to do is create safe spaces and virtual healing circles for my women, for my sisters, because we need a space to be able to, if nobody else is going to hold the banner for us, we'll hold the banner for ourselves. So between everything happening with COVID up until now.
Us brothers need to pick up the banner too.
Y'all absolutely do need to pick up the banner. And what I would absolutely love to see, just like when they show the you, right, just like they show the images of the white people getting in front of the black people when there was one of those protests. I would love for my black men, like just a strong line of black men being in front of us and saying, don't you touch them. You can't touch them. That's my sister. That's my mama. That's my daughter. That's my niece. You can't touch them. And it would be so powerful to just have these beautiful black male bodies, and however they show up as men, to just say they belong to us, just like we belong to them. And I've yet to see that. And so until I see that, I've made sure that I've connected with various black women who are looking on ways to navigate their profession and looking for ways to navigate, you know, being in white spaces. You know, I've had more conversations with black women about, like, you know, how can I still work with white folks? And they keep asking me if I'm okay, and I don't want to talk about it with them. And me being the gatekeeper for them to say, you don't have to talk about it with them. It's not that you don't have to share your pain with them. That's not theirs. That's yours. Mm-hmm. If you want to bring it to me, bring it to me. You know, there is a lot of exhaustion. There's still exhaustion where you are feeling like you're being attacked by white people and you still got to show up and work with them and smile. Mm. We need a break. When black women need a break, you know, men help, and I don't ever want to downplay the roles that you all play in making kids, but we all know that a woman carries the child. We see the child from the day it starts, 9 months, and some of us earlier and some of us later, but we are a whole vessel for another human life, a vessel. Why would we not be protected? So it's been tiring.
I have to say amen to that. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And so now we're trying to find a lot of my women, a lot of my sisters. We're having conversations and we're, you know, empowering and finding ways to be empowered.
What I want to add is, and this is just a question, I think, you know, this in my mindset is, it's just all of it is one big mess. You know, if you look at the whole picture of where we came from as a people in general, men, women, children, and all of us, I think we need major change in. And it's almost like we need to kind of come to a point. It's like I've always said, we need to come. This is a major crisis. And I want to look at this as, is, you know, I've always said the relationship between African Americans and Euro Americans, the relationship that we've had so far since we entered this continent is very abusive. It's an abusive relationship. And it gives you a context when someone, I have so many friends of mine who I've asked about abusive relationships and what do you do with abusive relationships? And they, first thing they say is get out, get a divorce, leave them, go on about your business and you don't have to put up with that. You don't have to put up with the financial exploitation. When you break this relationship down, it's very abusive. It's a lot of gaslighting. It's splitting people apart. I'm going to pay more attention to this group. Well, I'm going to pay more attention to the men and I ain't going to pay no attention to the women. And so you're going back and forth and doing this and we're all in this big game. When will the game stop? You know, and when can we control our own narrative and point out, hey, this is who we are as a people. Here are some of the issues that we have, our women, our children, and all of the above. That's important. And I think as long as we're not in control of the narrative, and as long as there is so much misinformation about that, as long as it's so many things that keep us divided. Yours is better than mine, and mine is better than yours. It's always going to be a struggle. So we have to figure out, how can we come to a common ground and just say, look, it's all important. Do not kill my women. And I should be able to yell that out loud without threatening, saying, yeah, they're going to do me like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. If I get too loud, you know, they're going to bust my head, and we ain't going to be able to do anything in life. We're going to lose our life too. And so we definitely have to, like, this is something to reflect on. And I want to continue the conversation in reflection. You know, you brought up some very heavy themes. You laid it in today. I mean, I think you laid it in harder than I've ever heard you lay it down. So it is important. And yeah, I just say that.
Absolutely. Because, you know, I am Brianna, and Brianna is me. You know, I'm Corinne Gaines. I'm Dominique Remy Fails. I'm Sandra Bland. I'm all these women. And I would hope, I pray nothing ever happens to me, but by golly, especially you said, I would hope that if anything happens to me, you'd be the first one to pull up the banner and be like, nope, not this one, not this one, you know, because we, and I really encourage everybody to check out this article, once again, on dailybeast.com, by Kaylin Wilson. And it's called Breonna Taylor and Why Black Women Are Tired of Being Left Out of Our Own Fight. And one thing that it talks about is intersectionality of activism. You know, mm-hmm. being able to have those, you don't put one over the other. Men aren't over anybody else. Trans aren't any under anybody else. It's mm-hmm. all intersections, because at the end of the day, we are all fighting the fight to live. We're all fighting the fight to have equality. We are all fighting the fight to be safe. We all want the same thing, is to be safe. Mm-hmm. And yes. when that is impeded upon, we don't get to distinguish, well, you got a criminal record, so we don't fight for you. Well, you shouldn't have ran, we don't fight for you. Well, you shouldn't have made this video, we don't fight for you. It doesn't matter. Just like as therapists, we don't get to decide who we help, whether we get a sex offender all the way up until we get a murderer and everybody else in between. We fight for each one of them on helping them find the quality of life that they're looking for. We don't get to pick and choose who's worth fighting for.
Absolutely.
And it has to be the same way. It has to be the same thing with Breonna Taylor and all of my sisters that have fallen at police brutality and the brutality of people that don't want to see us live.
So, all right, we're gonna take a little break, and we're gonna come back and continue our discussion. Thanks for listening, tuning in to The Colors of Relationship. If you like what you hear, please click that subscribe button. And make sure you go to all of our platforms, Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts, to download our episodes.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Colors of Relationships with your host, Dr. Asia King, licensed professional clinical counselor and counseling psychologist, along with
Cedric Weatherspoon, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist.
All right, so we're coming back with a brief wrap-up of what do we think about this whole conversation. So just for the sake of just wrapping it up, you know, I really think, once again, you know, women, we fight for our men. We will go to bat for our men, and we will do for everything for our men. We will throw our bodies in front of our men. Hell, we carry men in our bodies to bring life and to create life, right? And we just want the same thing. Where's our banner? Where is our protest? Where are our shirts? Where are our memorials? Where's the fight for us? Is it out of sight? Is it out of mind? because we don't see the video, we don't have the same emotional reaction, but nevertheless, we need to have intersectionality when it comes to activism. Nobody is over anybody. Everybody mm-hmm. needs to have the same right, the same push, and the same anger, because when one of us dies, we all die. When a piece of us dies, the whole body is affected, and we need to treat it as such. What's your take, Seth?
My takeaway is we need a lot of change in within our culture, within the Black community. I mean, I think that's number one. You got to take care of home first, and we got to take care of our women. The points that you brought forward in this podcast, it was very thought-provoking. You know, and this is definitely barbershop talk. I'm going to take this to the shop where all the men are hanging out and say, what do you think about this stuff? You know, check out our podcast. We got to have it. We're going to switch this conversation and see what they think. You know, so far as myself, you know, number two is I understand that this narrative, picking and choosing narratives, is kind of about ratings in our culture and how we handle ourselves in as Americans. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a part of the general struggle. You know, when we're protesting, we have to say we want a different narrative. We want to hear the whole story. We're tired of hearing the lies. We're tired of the Band-Aid fixes. And how are we going to fix this problem permanently so we can move forward in a new way? You know, and I think that's where we are in this country is we have to figure out how to move forward in a new way. So far as our health, so far as how we treat diversity and people, it's been this way for a long time. And this year, it's not going to be easy. You know, I think we have a lot of big events that are coming up that's happening right now. And we have a huge election that's coming up. And it's been a lot of race baiting and a lot of like negativity around this up and coming election. And so we're going to have to make some tough decisions of how we're going to move forward as a people, as a country, the whole nine. We need to get up for it and put our ladies up front. We, like Queen Latifah said, ladies first, let's put them up front. Let's get those ladies up first and talk about this could be my mother. Just like this could be my father. This could be my brother. This could be my sister. This could be my aunt. You know, we have to start leaning into stuff and start being, you know, being available for our sisters. If anybody disagree with that, they're more than welcome to leave me a comment, email, go to our Facebook page, and tell me a little bit about why you're not seeing it the same way how Dr. Asia laid it out. And I would have to add before I get this up, because I know it's coming, it's going to be because the Black man was pushed to the background and all this other piece. We don't want to engage in that kind of rhetoric. We are problem solving here. We wanted a sister reached out and say, I want to know why. And many sisters have reached out and say, I want to know why we're on the priority. Why aren't you stepping forward and moving forward for us? Why aren't you leading the charge like we lead the charge for you? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's about as real as it comes. I want to continue this dialogue. And also, I want to talk about, you know, in our next episode, if we could talk about, I brought up this dynamic between African Americans and America, Euro-American relationships in general, has been an abusive relationship. And historically, you can point to different historical points why this relationship has been an abusive relationship. And we need to have a conversation about that, our relationship within that context.
All right.
And explore that narrative.
Absolutely. Well, until next time, Seth, we will definitely explore that. I encourage everybody to go to our platforms and leave your comments, questions, and statements. And you know what? I welcome, you know, even the comment of, well, Black men have been pushed to the back, you know, and just kind of challenging and pushing with that notion that, okay. So even if you got pushed to the back, there wasn't a black woman with you that didn't go back there with you when you had to go back. There wasn't a woman that didn't say, you know what, if you can't go, I'm not going unless they let you go. And that goes into for the women who have waited for their men to get out of prison, for the women who have bailed their partners out of it, for the women who have marched up there with their husbands or before their husband or for their partners to say, you're going to give him this job. So,
and you left one out and supported them within the context of growing their own business and their own financial independence and putting it on the line for a lot of these brothers out here who are at the forefront and own these extravagant businesses. So exactly. I wanted to add that piece in there.
No, absolutely. But I mean, when we talk about, you know, women being there for their men, black women being there for their black men, you look at least one black woman that has told you you can do it and pushed you to do it or fought for you or spoke up for you on your back. That was our sacrifice and our way of showing we're right here with you. And if you got a problem, we got a problem. If it matters to you, it matters to us.
All right. Great wrap up. I would like to say I enjoyed this conversation, and like I said, I enjoy doing this podcast. Be well, take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you. We'll see you next time, or talk to you next time. Yeah,
absolutely. Everybody, go lead with love. Be well, and most importantly, go be great in the world, guys. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Be sure to find our podcast, Colors of Relationships, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. Be sure to also follow us on Facebook at Colors of Relationships, and on Twitter, join the conversation at the COR Podcast.